Would she call you on the phone and you would talk?
She would get somebody to call me.
But she wouldn't call.
She doesn't know how to call, so she would always
call. Oh, but she would talk to you.
Yeah, she talked to
you.
Oh, okay, let me just go ahead and put a heading on this tape. This is Mary Bland talking with Jeanette Cypress at the Hollywood Reservation. And we were just talking a little bit about Jeanette's background. Her grandmother is Susie Billy. Her mother is Agnes Cypress. And you grew up
in Cypress.
Tell us just a little bit. We had talked about your education. Just briefly, tell us a little bit about your background and your education and what you're doing now.
Okay, right now I'm working as a medical assistant and field administrator for the clinic. And let's start back from the beginning, or?
Well, just the fact that you've had an unusual education and that you've gone through many different...
I dropped out of school in the 10th grade and mm-hmm. went to Coral Gables and lived there for 6 months to get a GED at University of Miami. And then went to work for a while. I've worked here and in Big Cypress and worked for the Miccosukees for a couple of years too at their clinics. And then I started back at BCC for a semester and dropped out. And now, then I went to Albuquerque after that for 2 years. And now I'm going part-time while I'm working. And I'm going to get an AA this summer. And then still go part-time until I decide what I really want to major in.
Well, growing up, your grandmother was a medicine woman when you were a child.
Mm-hmm. I lived with my grandmother and my grandfather. I didn't live with my mother when I was younger.
Did you ask her to train you as a medicine woman?
She would sing loud when she was doing some of the stuff, so I would hear a lot of the stuff. And even to this day, I guess when I was younger, I picked up some of the stuff not really realizing it. Because now when she sings some of the verses, I can pick up some of the things that I learned when I was younger. And every night she used to tell me the legends. That's how I went to sleep. Because back then we weren't into TVs and all this other stuff. So, and I was the only child growing up there, so I pretty much played by myself and followed her around just about everywhere she went.
So you got full attention. Do you remember any of the songs that she would sing?
It's mostly medicine songs, and I don't think I could sing them. I just know some of the things. But mostly the things she's taught me was how to raise your kids when you have children, and that you should have respect for your elders, and if you marry someone that you're supposed to have respect for that family, not just say, hey, I'm married now, so forget about the rest of his family. Like when she was growing up, she said she was taught when you married that you even washed his mother's clothes, and you cooked for her. You don't expect them to wait on you. You're like taking on the whole family, because when she was taught that way, so she used to have to cook for them and help them out. And she used to tell me, you're supposed to do the same thing. When you buy yourself something, think of your in-laws, buy them something, even if it's just fruit or something, bring her something, she used to tell me things like that.
Which clan are you?
Panther.
Oh, and Ethel is also Panther clan. Mm-hmm. So if you marry, you would marry into another clan, but you would also take care of that.
Mm-hmm. Whoever you marry, doesn't matter what clan, it has to be a different clan from yours, but you still have to treat them like they were really your relatives, because you're like taking on his family too.
Is the clan system strong today?
I'm probably a very good example, because of all the things I've been taught, I pretty much grew up traditionally, and there was even Indian medicine, whenever I got cut, she'd do that to me. I never had to have stitches when I was growing up for any of my cuts or whatever I got into. And I really hurt my grandmother a couple of years ago. See, I've married into the same clan. And so that was kind of like taboo, and it really kind of messed me up for a while too, but I think I'm pretty much over it. But I count it as an experience. I wouldn't tell my kids to do the same thing I did. Like now I always tell my kids, even though your dad and I made the same mistake, that doesn't mean that it's okay for you to go and do it. So I'm teaching my kids the same thing my grandmother taught me, even though I've done wrong by doing what I did.
Yeah, I can imagine that you personally mm-hmm. went through a lot of soul searching.
It was really bad for us for a while, because even my husband was pretty much traditional too. But it just happened that I guess we fell in love with each other, and we knew it was wrong, but yet, we couldn't stay away from each other, so we ended up just having kids and getting married.
I'm curious to know about the Immokalee Reservation. I know that some of the Seminole women who've married outside of the tribe have ended up at that reservation. Is that why the reservation started?
I think that's part of the reason, because I remember, there used to be some kind of tribal thing where they tell you if you marry, the guy could marry a non-Indian person, and they could pretty much live on the reservation with no problems. But if a woman married a Spanish man or a white man, he was supposed to provide the home for her, so they really didn't want her on the reservation.
But yet she could still maintain contact with her clan.
She
had a family camp. It's real interesting.
I remember the women used to argue about that in some of the meetings, saying that's really unfair because you're letting the guys marry non-Indian people and they're allowed, but yet you're saying the women can't, So they used to argue about it. Now it's changed. I see a lot of the Spanish men on the reservation and a lot of the non-Indian men living on the reservation.
Well, when you were growing up in Big Cypress, was there like an active political structure? Say, were the elders of the tribe in charge there at Big Cypress? How did it work?
When I was growing up, I didn't travel too much to the other reservations, except when I got older, I started getting into basketball tournaments. Then I would see other people on the other reservations, and I wasn't really involved in politics either. Mm-hmm. It was just like, I was just there with my grandparents, and that was it. Whatever they did, we did just simple things. We weren't really involved in any tribal politics and stuff. So it's just been recently that I've started noticing all these things and getting involved in things. But they used to push education a lot on me because my grandparents both didn't read, and my mother quit really in elementary school. So I think that's why it's made me kind of go out more and do more things.
But they were real supportive of you.
They were. They used to tell me, you should try to be whatever you want to be and try to really shoot for the top and get through school and stuff.
Do you find that other young people are receiving that same kind of support from their parents or grandparents?
Not all of them, I don't think. Some of them now, I see the young people, they're not even close to their grandparents. They act like they owe them something. The only time some of them might go see their grandparents is for money or, just to ask for things. And I was always taught you do for them, not ask. So, I always see my grandmother at least twice a month on the other reservation. We spend weekends with her. And when I'm there, last weekend, we cut her grass and cooked for her and cleaned for her. And that's the way I was taught.
You seem to really appreciate the traditional values. One, you were taught them, but you also seem to respect them. Is there any particular reason?
I guess because I feel like someday it's going to be lost, and I really don't want it to be, because that's what we are, If we disappear, there's really nothing going to be left, and that's why I'm trying to teach my kids to speak their language and everything. Like my son speaks it, because he was around my grandmother a lot too. She helped me a lot with my first one because I was trying to go to school and I was having a rough time. And so he speaks it fluently and, he understands it. My daughter, she's more been away, from my grandparents, so she understands it, but she doesn't speak it as much. Plus here, sometimes the kids laugh at her. That's the other thing I've noticed. It's changed where some of the kids even laugh at their own language because they haven't been taught. That's part of them. And like the baby, she's going to be a year. We speak mostly Indian to her at home.
So you seem to feel that it's real important.
Yeah, I think so. Because a lot of our elders are dying out. We only have a few left. And if somebody doesn't see the importance of it and keep it going, once they all die out, there's not going to be anything left.
How old is Susie Billy?
She's 84. She says she's older. They don't have no records or anything, so they have to kind of estimate.
It was really wonderful the day we spent with her at Ethel's family camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, you seem to know a lot, too, about just women's practices, and you talked about child rearing. One of the things that I noticed that they did that day was the fire was set up in a certain way, and it had logs going in crisscross like this in four directions. This Why is that done? Do you know?
I don't think it... I never was told it had any significance.
Mm-hmm. Is the woman's role... In fact, I guess what I'd like to ask you, could you explain what the woman's role was when you were growing up, and if that role has changed?
It seemed like, from what she tells me and talks to me from the past, like she was... like the head of household, maybe I'm wrong, but she was the strong person. She's been married twice, and her first marriage, my real grandfather, I really didn't know him. I was young when he died. I think I was like 6 months old when he died. But the other man he married, that's the one I usually refer to, because mm-hmm. he was there when I was growing up. He worked, but he was also sick too, maybe, so that might have had a lot to do with it, but it seemed like she was always the one working. When I remember, we used to travel different places because she would have to work in the fields or whatever jobs was available. And she's always been like the strong person in the whole marriage and like the leader to me.
Are the young women today, they seem to have
yeah,
the same kind of...
Yeah, I think so, because I find myself that way sometimes in my own relationship. It's like I'm the one that goes out and does it. And he has these ideas, but he's slower at getting them done, and I want to get it done, so I'm like right there. But then I have a lot of my grandmother's, I guess, qualities, maybe from being raised with her. It's like, I want things done, I'll do it. And I don't care how hard of a job it is. If I want something, I'll go for it. But a lot of the women are working today to support the families.
It's one thing I've noticed from going to Big Cypress to Immokalee. I personally have been real impressed with the strength of the women, and have noticed a lot of strength at the Immokalee Reservation, because that's where I've been mm-hmm. most of the time. Did the women have to go about doing the things that they wanted done? Like, did they have to do things to make the men feel like they were strong?
What do you mean, like the physical?
No, like psychologically, the women wanted to get things done and they wanted to rush out and do it, but did they have to kind of make sure the man was happy and that he felt he was accomplishing things too?
I'm pretty sure they did, because I do that a lot with my own relationship. So,
yeah, I'm wondering if you've been influenced too by, you know, the whole women's liberation movement. Has that had any impact at all on the tribe?
Maybe some of the younger women, but the older women, I think, probably were already liberated a long time ago, so it's like, you know, it's no big deal. Maybe the younger ones probably are noticing these things. But like my grandmother, I consider her real liberated. You know, she does a lot of things. And she doesn't, I don't know, I guess I like it because she just does what she wants to. And she's going to do it, she'll do it, you know.
Do you think that's because of the clan system and the whole rule coming through the mother's side of the family?
It probably is. Maybe that's why I think they were kind of like the leaders too. The women carried most of the clans.
I'd like to ask you some questions about the medical practices. If someone wanted to learn to be a medicine woman, how would they start?
My grandmother, she's always offered, like anyone that's interested in really wanting to learn, to come and listen to her. She's willing to sing. And she says the way she learned it, you don't record it. You just sit there. You have to keep going back and going back, and you'll probably hear the same song for over and over and over, but that's how you pick it up. And she's offered, she'll tell people, you know, I'm here if anybody wants to learn anything, just to come talk to me. I think she really enjoys it when people do come and see her and ask her questions, especially the younger Indian people. Because, like, if you sit there, she'll talk and talk and talk, you know. And a lot of the older people, they're lonely anyway because they don't have that many people seeing them as much. So it's just a matter of wanting to and going to the person and asking them to teach you, and you have to really be serious about it and keep going back.
I was asking Agnes if she had tried, and she said yes, she had, but the first song is called, it's, I guess, basically roughly translates as the remembering song, and it's something to help you
remember.
Right.
But I've also noticed my grandmother will tell me some people will learn faster than others. I guess it's just like that in anything we do, but some people really have the knack to pick it up and they keep going, and some people it takes them a long time. Like right now, there's one man traveling with him, with her, and I think he's been picking up pretty well. They're always going to even Brighton to see Jim Shore's father, you know, to listen to him sing.
Oh, you mean Frank Shore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To go and visit him too. Like my grandmother, she still wants to learn, even though she's learned a lot of stuff, and she'll go to people and ask, and she'll sit there and she listens. And sometimes when you go to ask someone something, you can take them something, like a gift. Like when people from Miccosukee come down to see my grandmother, she's teaching some people from there too. They'll bring her even a bag of groceries, you know, just like a token for them, you know, using her.
In other words, it's like a form of payment, but it's not necessarily monetary. Money. It could be fruit or anything. Mm-hmm.
Even clothing, fabric.
And that's pretty acceptable.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just the thought that counts, that she's being appreciated for what she's doing.
One thing Agnes said, she said that your mother told her, she said, you may at some point be able to remember and it will come easy. If that time comes, you will know and then you can come back.
That's like me, maybe because I went off for a while and was doing a lot of educational stuff. And then now I'm coming back into the reservation and I'm seeing her again. A lot of the stuff she taught me, I never really lost. It was there. It's just that I didn't use it those couple of years, and now it's starting to slowly come back. So I think now at the time, if I would, at this point in my life, if I really put myself into it and sit down and learn it, I could. I feel like I can now. As before, I had so many other things going on with education and trying to find myself that it was kind of hard for me to learn.
Is there a difference between what the women medicine people do and what the men medicine doctor does?
She used to tell me it all depends on who you learned it from. Some things or some songs might be a little bit different, you know, but that doesn't necessarily mean yours is better or theirs is right and yours is wrong. But a lot of the women will go to a women doctor for women problems. So like for childbirth and stuff, they'll go mostly to her instead of a man. Or after you have the child, you have to go through this routine thing to, for the cuts to heal and things like that. They rather go to the woman because you have to pretty much strip and set in this like little tent thing. So I think it just depends on what kind of sickness it is, and sometimes trust other people more than the other person. Or my grandmother says so-and-so might be better for healing this than the other person. So it's like they have respect for each other, they refer each other. Like some people will come to my grandmother and she'll go, well, I'm not too good at that, but you know, so-and-so is, so she'll send them to them and they'll do it. So it's like they have a lot of respect for each other and they refer patients to you. It's like a doctor. I'm not a specialist in this, but yet you might go to that one and he could, you know, be better.
It is exactly like specializing, isn't it? Could your mother learn from a man, medicine doctor?
Yeah, she wanted to. They really don't, you know, show any prejudice in that area, because like my grandmother said, her father taught her.
That's how she learned it.
Yeah.
Who was that?
I think his name was Miami, I think. She said Miami Billy. She's kind of confused about the names, but I think that's what it was.
Actually, I've heard her say that name.
Yeah, because they usually go by Indian names anyway, instead of the English names, but I think she said Miami.
Are you able to tell us anything about like what might be done? Like, say, for example, if a woman's pregnant and expecting a child, can you tell us anything at all about the medicine that might be prescribed for that kind of situation?
The only thing I know is like every time I'm pregnant, she'll tell me I have to go through these couple of medicines. One is for like something to do with a bear, some kind of illness associated with an animal, and she'll make you, you know, take a bath in it and stuff. Like she prepares it. Usually I'm not there when she prepares it. I just use it after she's done it. And the other one's like to help the baby be, I don't know how to say it in English too well, but something like to be more of a person, a complete person. She'll do something like that. Then she'll tell you what kind of things you can't do, what you can't eat, like mangoes. She'll tell you not to eat mangoes because the baby's navel will stick out, you know, things like that. And then she'll tell you after the baby's born, you shouldn't comb the baby's hair with a comb until it's got its first teeth. You know, certain little things she'll tell you. And not to lean against objects like say, sitting like this, because it'll delay the baby's birth. You know, I've learned a lot of, some people call it superstition, but to me it's like what I was raised with. So, and just things like that. Don't lay in bed a long time. Get up early and be more active.
Were there certain things you were told that you had to eat during that time period?
No, it's not like, you know how in the regular doctor they tell you what foods to eat. It's mostly she tells you what not to eat. And like animals, not being around, like going to the zoo. Because she feels like the animals have a certain odor that will make you ill. Things like that.
It's real
interesting. Or like looking at monkeys and even TV. They tell you to quit looking at something and saying, ooh, is that gross? Because you, who knows, your baby might turn out like that. You know, things like that.
Is there any belief having to do with the phases of the moon as far as birthing practices?
I don't think so. The only thing I know is like your dreams. When they prepare the medicine for you, she used to ask me, did you dream of doing boy things or little girls? And they make a medicine for, you know, the medicine's supposed to make the baby come faster during delivery and stuff. So you'll tell her if it was boy stuff, she'll prepare a medicine for a boy. So it's like with dreams, they use the dreams a lot for their medicine. What kind of dreams you've been having. And that's also how they diagnose some of your illnesses too, because I used to have dreams about snakes real bad, and they had to prepare medicine for me for that.
So she could take care of that problem. Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they'll ask you what kind of dreams you've had, and that they'll prepare the medicine according to maybe what animal you might, like some people might dream of a bear, and then they say the bear is what's making you ill.
Gosh, I wonder if that had anything to do with clan. Did you ever dream of a panther?
Mm-mm.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I've always been curious. I think to sit down and talk to her more, but like how they that first got started, if she does remember. Because she remembers some things that her mother's told her about wars and stuff. Like she was telling me they used to leave their babies to save the rest of the family because the soldiers would hear the baby cry and discover the whole family and, you know, things like that. She tells me all these things. Yeah, I'm really into a lot of, I believe in a lot of, my sister and I are two different people. She wasn't really raised around my grandparents, so she's not really into this stuff. Sometimes I think she thinks I'm weird, but I'll tell her I hear things, and I'm into all these supernatural things, and I believe in all this stuff about how people are still alive after death and all this, because we were taught all these things. And some people probably think, well, that's all superstition, but I believe a lot of the stuff she's told me about that.
Is there any conflict between the traditional beliefs and say, I noticed that Christianity is also a part of...
Yeah, that's come into, like a green corn dance. A lot of people that's turned Christian won't go to that anymore because they say it's not religious.
So they feel there's a conflict.
There'll be
there.
A group of people that are really into religion. They won't go to those green corn dances.
Do you feel there's a conflict?
For myself, I believe in Jesus and all that, but I still go to the green corn dances because that's another way of life we were raised with too. So I believe in that too, and I believe there's a higher power and all this stuff. But I also believe, you know, a person can be a good person and religious without going to church every day or every Sunday and every Wednesday, because I also know there's people that go to church every Sunday and Wednesday that don't even act religious, you know. So I just believe in doing as best as you can with what you got and being a good person, hopefully.
What about young people growing up on the reservations today? What is their feeling, and I don't know if you can even speak about this, but what is their feeling about tradition, and what does tradition mean to them when they see all these outside influences? You know, like here in Hollywood, gosh, you've got so much going on. You can drive up and down the road in any direction, and there's movies and shopping centers and all this entertainment stuff.
The difference I see is, like, in Big Cypress, we were pretty much close. We're isolated, so the enjoyment we had was like horseback riding and more, you know, group things. But here, it seems like everything is going on the outside, and all the kids are, I think they're kind of lost here to me. Maybe I'm wrong, but a lot of the younger people here in Hollywood don't even speak their own language anymore, where most of them in Big Cypress still do. And here, they're not even really close to their grandparents as much either, I don't think. I guess I shouldn't be biased, but...
But is that a difference? Because this reservation, of course...
is right in town, like, I think that's what it is. Because they have so many activities going on, and they participate in everything else, that they don't, maybe they don't spend as much time with their own family like they used to, and sit down and listen to what their grandmother has to say. Because every weekend when we go to Big Cypress, my mother will come from Immokalee, and we'll sit there and cook a dinner, and my grandmother talks, and it's like, you know, we'll sit there for hours at night just talking and carrying on and stuff. And whereas here, it seems like they don't do that as much.
That's real interesting, because when your mother and grandmother come, you've got four generations in a row, mm-hmm. right there. That's unusual.
And then my grandmother would sit there and scream at at her grandkids. You never listen. When I was your age, I was taught this and not this. You know.
Does she tell them some of the stories and legends?
Yeah, like at night, she used to tell us not to wander around after dark. You're not supposed to be out screaming and jumping around at night. You're supposed time to be quiet and get ready to go to sleep. Because that's when the spirits come out and things will copy you. You know, the sounds you make, something would copy you from the woods or whatever, and you'll get ill and die. She used to tell me all this stuff, so I was scared to death when I was growing up. But my kids, you know, I tell them, but they don't really listen. But when they get to her house, she'll start telling them of all the things that's happened to people that they've reported, that other people have told her, like, somebody saw a small object one time and they got real close and it got real big into this huge thing and scared them half to death because they didn't listen to their mom and stuff like that. Then they'll get real quiet and they'll sit there and listen to it for hours. I think it does me some good to take them over there.
You can tell. What, do they ever ask for her to tell them a certain story? Is there anything that's favorite to them?
They like hearing mostly scary things. Things have happened to other people, or like she'll have legends of how people went hunting and gotten lost. They'll ask for things like that. And then there's one about a big owl that ate up someone, you know.
She knows that.
Yeah, she knows a lot. I just wish I could remember all of them, but I can't. I just know bits and pieces of each one. When I was working for bilingual education, we did a lot of recordings on that. And, they're supposed to be stored, so I'm hoping they preserved all that stuff. Because she did a lot of legends for them.
When we were at Ethel's family camp, let's see, Buffalo Jim came by, and he's the medicine man also. Do they work together?
He's my grandmother's brother.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they're brother and sister.
So medicine has really been in your family.
I think... a long time ago, she told me that the Panther clan was the medicine people, so it was like carried down. So I think that's why a lot of times she wants me to learn it too, to keep it going. And I think I'm going to sit down more with her. I've started really kind of going just about every weekend and learning things from her. It's going to take me some time. And I'm having to balance it between going to college and learning things from her and try to keep it going.
Maybe what you could do is to get a tape recorder and, you know, just start asking her questions and keep it on tape. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she will talk
yeah,
to you on
she,
tape.
She told me, well, you're my granddaughter. My grandkids might not be, you know, around when I die. I mean, old enough to really understand when I die. And so I'll go ahead and record a lot of the stuff for you to teach them. But she's doing it for me mostly just to teach the grandkids, not to really give it out to anybody else.
She feels it's real important then to pass along traditional knowledge.
And she was so excited with the last baby I had, the little girl. and she has some of the features of her. You can't really notice it in my grandmother, but somewhere down the line, I don't know if there was some mixture or what, but they've got like slanted eyes, and there's no eyelids up here like we do. It doesn't fold, it's kind of straight. My grandmother was like that when she was younger, and somebody else in her, I guess her father's family was like that. And my last one came out like that. She looks kind of oriental looking, the slant, the eyes and everything. So she's been all, it's like, I think to her it's like, hey, you know, there's another person that's going to be still around even when I go. So she's really been after me about getting her to know a lot of the stuff. She's, for some reason, she's been really special, the last one I've had. And she's always saying, oh, this one's different from the other two. She'll sit there and go, she really listens, so she's going to learn a lot of this stuff. And she'll talk and talk to the baby, and the baby just kind of looks up at her and listens to her.
The baby's 1 year old.
Yeah.
Did you name the baby after
her? No, I named her Desiree. No, I didn't.
Is that a practice at all to name children after?
No, I think they just started recently doing that. But I let her name her the Indian name. She's named my all my kids' Indian names, but not the English names. I pretty much picked the English names.
Do you have an Indian name?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Dushkechi.
What does that mean?
It's she told me this older man named me, he's deceased now, but it's something to do with distance, like reaching, or it's something about reaching, and it's got distance. It doesn't really have it's just, I think it came from a medicine song, and something to do with reaching. I really don't know.
Does your grandmother have an Indian name?
She does, but she's never really told me about it. She said in the old days you didn't go around calling your old elders by their Indian names. That was disrespectful. So I just call her mom. I call her my mother. And I call my mother.